Hello and welcome to our site on this beautiful Palm Sunday evening. Our subject for this evening is a statement, Jesus is Lord. I think it's probably the most important statement in the world. Jesus is Lord. Interestingly, all four of the Gospel writers record the events of Palm Sunday. This morning we looked at Luke's account, and so if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me first of all to the Matthew account. So we're in the Gospel of Matthew, and reading from chapter 20 and verse 29, Matthew chapter 20. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. Then if you would please turn with me to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, and in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. We read the same story, but with slightly different nuances. John 12 and verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this evening as we consider this wonderful declaration, Jesus is Lord. Thomas, whom we often perhaps unfairly refer to as Doubting Thomas, ends up, when Jesus appears to him and the other disciples after the resurrection, falling at Jesus' feet and exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." In a very real sense, the gospel is not all that meaningless until we recognize that Jesus Christ is King, that Jesus is Lord. In other words, that he is absolute sovereign, that he is exclusive ruler, that he is unrivaled King. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached to the crowds gathered at the temple in Jerusalem, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the believers in Jerusalem, Peter, in the very climax of his sermon, declares the fact that this same Jesus, whom the Jews had handed over to the Romans to be crucified, God had exalted as Lord and Savior. And when they heard this, the fact that Jesus, who was crucified, had been raised by God the Father and declared Lord, this was the truth that struck them to the heart. This was the truth that brought deep conviction to their souls. This was the truth that brought them down in repentance toward God, in contrition before Almighty God, crying out, "What must we do then to be saved?" And Peter said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you will be forgiven of your sins, and you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and your children, and your children's children, and to many as are afar off, to all whom the Lord our God will call." The crux of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost was this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus is sovereign. He is the ruler. He is unrivaled in his kingship. It was this reality that the Holy Spirit of God used to bring conviction to 3,000 Jewish men who on the day of Pentecost repented of their sins and placed their trust in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, and were baptized to confess their faith, declaring Jesus is truly Lord. The Bible teaches that he is Lord of creation. In Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, the apostle tells the Christians at Colossae that by him, that is by Jesus, all things were created. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. Writing in his letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 12:3, the apostle Paul makes it clear that the declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord is a declaration that can only be truly made by those who have been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, the Apostle Paul, in this Philippian hymn, as we sometimes refer to it as, speaks of the Lord Jesus, who, though being truly God from all eternity, humbled himself and became man, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And for that reason God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every other name, exalted him to the highest place, to declare that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord of creation. Hebrews 1:2, he made the universe. The Apostle John, in his letter, points out that nothing was made without Jesus. Everything that has been created was created by the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only Lord of creation, he is, of course, Lord of salvation. We've already seen in previous messages how Peter declares to the Jewish ruling council of 72, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ can save. Set the captive free, forgive our sins, and restore our broken relationship with God. The Apostle Paul shows, in fact, that all of human history will consummate one day under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Writing to the Christians at Ephesus, if you would like to turn to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul has this to say: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, that is, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And now listen to this. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect, when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Do you get the point? Friend, human history will consummate under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He will bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the headship of Jesus. I'd like to highlight four things that everybody needs to know about the kingship of Jesus. First of all, you cannot know him as your king, as your Lord, as sovereign and savior of your life, unless the Holy Spirit himself graciously brings your spirit alive. Jesus spoke to a ruler in the Jewish community in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, a man named Nicodemus, who came to him one night, and Jesus said to him, "You must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again, born of the Spirit into the family of God." Jesus then calls it being born from above. Paul, as we noticed earlier in 1 Corinthians 12:3, says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." In other words, lordship, knowing Jesus as your king, involves divine intervention. It's a wonderful work of the grace of God, wrought out by the Holy Spirit, who breathes new life into our spirit, giving us new birth into the family of God, enabling us to cry, "Abba, Father," and to confess Jesus as Lord of our lives. So the second point is, you have to personally confess his lordship. Lordship demands not only divine intervention in the grace of God, but it demands personal confession on our part. People of my generation were quite happy to talk about Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. His lordship demands a personal confession. When the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians at Rome in the first century, he says in what is a well-known chapter, in Romans chapter 10, "This is the word of faith that we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus, involves divine intervention, a mighty work of the Holy Spirit to give us new birth into the family of God, enabling us to repent of our sins and put our trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. But it also demands a personal, open, public confession of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This confession is made visible in believers' baptism by immersion in water. It's inconceivable to think of the apostles preaching the good news about Jesus without commanding that their converts be baptized. And so, following this train of thought, having Jesus as King of your life this Palm Sunday involves a gracious, divine, sovereign intervention by the Lord Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit. It also involves, on our part, confessing openly, publicly, visibly, unashamedly, that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And then thirdly, the good news is you'll only be free when Jesus is Lord of your life. And so Lordship produces spiritual liberation. Paul tells us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so, is Jesus Lord of your thoughts, Lord of your words, Lord of your deeds? Is Jesus Lord of what you look at? Is Jesus Lord of what you think about? Is Jesus Lord of what you say and do? Is Jesus Lord of your body and your mind, your time, your talents, your treasures? Is Jesus Lord of the way you spend your money? You see, if Jesus is not Lord at all, Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so, Lordship, having Jesus as King in our lives, is the secret of real freedom. Paul says as much in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit of Jesus is Lord, there is freedom, there is liberty. How wonderful that coming under the Lordship, the Kingship of Jesus, enables us to be set gloriously free from the shackles of sin and from its enslaving power. There is no freedom like knowing God and living in the will of God with Jesus as Lord of all. And so, fourthly, you can only be sure of ultimate salvation if Jesus is Lord of your life. And so, following our 4 points here, Lordship involves divine intervention. Lordship demands personal confession. Lordship produces spiritual liberation. And finally, Lordship guarantees eternal salvation. Some of the most chilling words in the Bible are spoken by Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Jesus says, "In the day of judgment, many will come to me saying, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works?' And Jesus will say to them, 'I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me.'" What an amazing but chilling statement. In other words, it's possible to give lip service to the kingship of Jesus and yet not really know personally the Lord of Palm Sunday. Jesus makes it clear at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that only those who do the will of the Father will enter the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Jesus draws this analogy of a person who builds his house on sand and the person who builds his house on a rock is compared. And the person who's built his house on sand, when the storms come and the floods come and the tsunami comes, the house is washed away. But the person who's built on solid rock, that house stands firm, even in the worst of storms. And what Jesus is saying at the close of his Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that has ever been preached by any preacher, is that you're either building the house of your life upon sand, and it will one day be swept away, or you are building your house on solid rock. Jesus himself is the rock. He's the rock that will never roll. He's the rock of ages. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." The confession of our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord is a confession upon which the Christ follower builds his life. Whereabouts do you stand tonight in your relationship with Jesus, the Lord of Palm Sunday? Are you able to say with all of your heart, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord? Lord Jesus, you are my King. You are Lord of all of my life, my thoughts, my words, my deeds. Jesus is Lord of all. Or have you sought to, as so many have in these days, take Christ as Savior, and yet you've never really surrendered to Him as Lord? If so, friend, I have to tell you, you're on dangerous ground. And the enemy would love to make us believe that it doesn't really matter if Jesus just has a portion of our life and the rest belongs to us. Reminds me of a story that I've often told. It's the story of John Ramsden, who became a very wealthy person and who ultimately was united. And he lived in Huddersfield and in England, and he bought up one property after another until he owned all the properties except for one, where an old Quaker owned the property. And every year John Ramsden would visit him to try and persuade him to sell his property. But every year his offer was turned down, until one day he said to the old Quaker, I will lay gold sovereigns down on your land if you will sell it to me. The old Quaker thought for a moment and then refused the offer. And as John Ramsden was leading the room, so the story goes, the old Quaker said, Sir John, before you go, remember, Huddersfield belongs to thee and to me. Oh, in how many lives tonight is not Satan able to say to Jesus, he, she belongs to you and to me? Is there an area in your life tonight that you have not surrendered to the kingship of Jesus? If there is, I want to give you an opportunity now as we close to recognize that the gospel is not really the gospel at all, unless it is the good news that Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and in earth, that he is the Lord of creation, he is the Lord of history, he is the Lord of salvation, and he is the one who ultimately will be the judge of all the earth. And under his headship, under his lordship, under his kingship, everything in heaven and on earth will be subjected. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this evening for your word that's clear and powerful. We thank you for the words of Jesus that are truth. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for reminding us on this Palm Sunday evening that Jesus Christ is King, that he is sovereign, that he is Lord of all. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have this opportunity this evening, as we bow in your presence, to subtotal our own lives right now, to ask you to search our hearts and to see if there's perhaps an area in our life that is not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Is there a relationship? Is there an affection, a passion? Is there a pursuit, an ambition? Is there something there that is keeping you from the glorious fullness and freedom of knowing Christ as King and Lord of all? If the Holy Spirit is pointing that out to you right now, won't you come in repentance to the Lord and confess that and ask him to cleanse you through his precious blood? and to deliver you by his power, and to take full ownership and residence and presidency, kingship in your life tonight. That's the greatest decision you can ever make. And it is the secret of liberty, of freedom, of joy, of fulfillment. Only where Jesus reigns, unrivaled as King, is there the perfect peace, love, joy, and power of God. And so, dear Lord, thank you for hearing our heart cry this evening, and we pray that you would continue to work in our lives and grant that we may know the joy day by day of living under the Lordship of Jesus. Thank you that it is for freedom that King Jesus sets us free. Free from self-centeredness, free from the power of sin, free from the powers of evil. And so our prayer tonight on this Palm Sunday is, reign, King Jesus, reign. For we worship you as King and Lord of all. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.